The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Well, we've had 48 hours since the Council of Ministers reshuffle. There was Timwell yesterday. Lots been said about the political state of the Isle of Man at the moment. Obviously, the Chief Minister has had his say, moved the pieces around, and we are where we are. So, any thoughts on where we are at the moment? Yesterday we were live at King William's College, so we didn't talk about politics, but lots that we did talk about yesterday. Particularly, never expected to be talking about German politics, but there we were, and AI as well, and the future of AI. The Treasury Minister is advised by the Chief Financial Officer and other civil servants. Is there a qualified economist providing advice to the government? Also, what has the Auditor General done? Gaz, that is, regarding that. Well, lots of people have had their say, including a former chief minister, Tony Brown, long-time MHK and, of course, chief minister and minister. It said the government should be putting services first and costs second. He's chair of Castle Town Commissioners, and he reckons the new two ministers, Treasury and Infrastructure, will have to work quickly to make new changes, including to next month's budget. Tony Brown.
Well, any chief minister is going to make changes that they feel appropriate for the needs of them being able to manage and operate the executive government. And they can happen any times. And it's hard to judge when you're not in there why or what's happened. We won't know the full story, I suppose, and never will. I suspect part of the changes have been because of the chief minister assessing some of the public reaction to some of the policies that are being pursued by those ministers. And if that is the case, then clearly a chief minister is going to make changes. And there's not really much more we can say that. We wait to hear what he says and to explain the basis of why he's done it. I hope that there are changes that will benefit the island. I think there is a need to give some more positive messages out and to actually demonstrate things are happening that are going to improve the quality of life and the funds available to people to live a good life in the Isle of Man. I think people have suffered enough in terms of over the years struggling with increased costs, a lot of them driven by government. Government isn't about money. Government is about service first, and then what money do we have to provide those services? And I think there is a need to change back to that and not just concentrate purely, which I have to say, from an outside point of view, seems to have been cost first, service second. Government is about service first and foremost. It's not a business. A local authority is not a business. Doesn't mean you can't use the basis of business, but you start by saying, what is the service we need to provide for our people so there are opportunities, good quality of life, and that standards of living are good?
Tony Brown, former chief minister there, and his view on it. Just a few other things that are knocking around, including Junara, whatever it's called. What used to be Manx.net has taken over. Rob dropped a note in just to say, have any other listeners' emails been hacked? Obviously, there was a cutoff point for Manx.net, the changeover. Apparently, Rob says somebody was waiting for this, and we've now got to get in touch with all our contacts to tell them not to open a link within an email. Is this true? Have there been spam stuff knocking around? My view is that Alf Cannon, all Alf Cannon has done is... what has he done? I 100% oppose the 20 mile per hour limit, says David. But that doesn't change my view. I'm sure Mr. Cannon will be rejected by his constituents. Crikey, mind reader. Let's hope MHKs aren't so daft in September and October, or we'll be doomed to another 5 years of chaos. Thank you, David. I take it you're standing for Keys, because obviously if you don't stand, crikey, what are we going to miss? I concur with Alistair Ramsay. It's not been that surprising given the calibre of MHKs. I think he's had to go along with the left-wing factions, but he has finally decided to strike good on the chief minister. Many people are right behind him, says Bill. Well, yeah, thank you, Bill. We can talk all we like about the calibre of MHKs, but is an MHK's job somebody else's job? It's always somebody else who's going to be an MHK, somebody else who's going to be an MLC. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? So any more questions on that? Mrs. Maltby's entitled to her view, so is Mr. Cannon. The context seems to make his comments nothing of particular importance. Is the Max Labour Party using this distance to distance themselves from the government they were an integral part of, or just some Manx Labour Party promotion, says P. Mr. Cannon was talking about left-wing, basically left-wing factions and socialism and what have you, and doesn't really want to be part of it. And obviously, the Manx Labour Party consists of Sarah Maltby and Joni Farragher. Of course, Sarah Maltby is a member of Treasury. So, well, we'll see, won't we? Again, this will all come out in the wash in the election later on this year. So let's hear what the Chief Minister had to say then. He wants the Isle of Man's Parliament, Tim Wall, to start listening, work together and find solutions that will bind us together as a society. Here's Alf Cannon.
Look, I make decisions. I work with what I'm given. And as you know, I've tried to accommodate views. If anything, I have probably been far too considerate and far too ready to sort of accede to consensus views when actually I should have been putting my foot down. I probably should have been driving in a different direction and perhaps, you know, ideally, you know, loading the council with all the people who I knew were just going to vote the right way. But that by itself probably would not been enough to for us to have moved forward in a sensible way. And as I said, you know, part of the trick of running the political system that we do when you have so many independents, you know, is trying to ensure that you've got some balance in the council of ministers so that you can reach across Tim Ward. It's not a party system, Phil. It doesn't offer perhaps the attraction that one might have of loading a council of ministers with everybody who technically is completely signed up to your agenda. And that's the way that politics works over here. So people can think what they want. Of course, they're entitled to think along the lines that you've just suggested. But, you know, we had a vote of confidence last year. I'm committed to pushing things forward and delivering for the people of this island. And I've had to make tough decisions again. And, you know, so be it. That is it. And, you know, I'm confident that I've made the right decisions at the right time. As I say, we'll push it through now to a budget that will deliver for the people of this island. We've set out the framework about how that's going to be delivered. We'll sort out the row with business. We'll re-establish relationships. I'm sure put some confidence back in the fact that government is listening to people, whether that's local authorities, whether that's drivers and society being affected by 20-mile-an-hour zones, or whether it's business and people who are impacted by minimum wage. I want us to start listening, working together and finding the solutions that will bind us together as a society and take us forward, not drive us apart.
Alfred Cannon, MHK, Aaron Michael, MHK, and your Chief Minister, with the reasoning behind what he did early on Monday morning. Patrick's with us now. Hi, Patrick.
Good afternoon, Andy. Andy, I just want to clarify something. Who makes final decisions on what goes ahead and what doesn't go ahead? For example, the promenade, instead of having a one track all the way down, which I suggested before they started it, they end up having half a track to Broadway, and the rest is kind of can't afford it or is not going to work. Why not finish off at the one track on the other side and be done with it, get it finished? Who makes final decisions?
Well, in theory, Patrick, it's going to be the minister. But as always, the minister will be advised by senior civil servants. And often, as is the case with the DOI, there'll be several ministers throughout but the civil servants often will stay the same. So it's a mixture, really. But obviously, at the end, the minister in the department has to basically push the go button.
So the minister in charge of tourism or wherever it is, he has the final say. So So if he makes bad decisions, the chief minister sacks him. Is that correct?
That's reducing it. But in theory, you know, if enough bad decisions are made, actions will be taken. Yeah, but there isn't a tourism minister anymore, by the way. That's buried in Enterprise.
No, I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is, surely they'd better off sitting together as ministers and saying, having a vote on something rather than someone making a decision which is the wrong decision and costing the taxpayers a fortune, costing the island a fortune. It just seems a strange way of doing it. Ministers are not experts. They get advice, obviously, but we have a group of ministers who surely between them have a responsibility to make the right decisions rather than one man. I mean, now it goes back to the chief minister, and he says, well, you've made too many mistakes, you're sacked. Basically, that's what happens, isn't it?
Well, I think reading between the lines, what he said was, he said he kind of bent over backwards to you know, cater for people's opinions. And really, the whole point is consensus within the government. As you mentioned, we don't have a party system. You're supposed to get the consensus of 24 MHKs and the ministers within Comin and then move forward.
Yes, that's what I was hoping. I was hoping that it's a joint decision on projects, but I'm not sure whether it is anymore. It seems to me like the minister in charge of that department makes a decision, and sometimes they go ahead with it before it's even discussed properly.
Well, obviously, when they take up the ministerial role, they'll be briefed on everything that's ongoing within the department. And crikey, in infrastructure, there's a basket full of stuff that needs doing in infrastructure. And they're there basically to keep the show on the road, to drive the coach, as it were. All the civil servants will be there to help them, including the senior civil servants, who may make recommendations, Patrick.
Yes, well, who, in the long term, how many civil servants have been fired in the last 2 years? I don't think there's any of them.
Well, there were some senior civil servants that went at the start of Mr. Cannon's administration. So there have been some that have gone, and obviously they're all on confidentiality clauses, so we'll never know what happened.
Yeah, that's the trouble. I think the chief ministers or the ministers themselves get advised by, as you say, so-called experts, and if these experts are not good at their job, they should be moved on, definitely.
Okay, but you see, Patrick, often, and we've heard it many times, you know, that if they're not sure about something, there's going to be a committee, there'll be a consultancy, there'll be a report, and that goes on forever and ever. At some point, you have to do something, Patrick, don't you?
Yes, definitely. Well, I mean, when you're using common sense, kind of, the promenade itself is a complete disaster, in my opinion. It looks like a partly finished job. Instead of having one track all the way down the promenade and changing the horse around the other end, it's cost of absolute fortune what they've done. And common sense didn't come into it at all, in my opinion.
Okay, so for clarity, what would you do with the horse tram tracks?
Well, you've got the job already finished one way now up to Broadway. Surely they could put one track down where they've left that green area all the way down and finish the project. One track. You're only not looking at two, just one track down. The horse changes around the other end, which they've done for 50 years, 100 years they've been doing that, and then finish the job properly. To me, it's a disgrace. We're supposed to be a tourist resort, and we're not now. It looks to me, it looks so shabby what we've done.
Right. Well, we'll wait and see what happens, Patrick.
Yeah, just get the job done, and the expense will be well worth it if the tourists enjoy the Isle of Man.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick.
This is what we're here for.
Good.
Bye now.
Good
bye
to
bye.
Hear from you. 19 minutes past 12. David's on with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. I just want to thank, really, as a personal local authority member, for the Chief Minister taking action on Monday regarding the DOI Minister. And if you've seen some of the comments that she's now making about how it was done, how she was perfect on the stuff, and all the comments that people have put on there saying, and my comment was, don't forget to shut the door when you go out. And that was purposely done, because the word is, and Paddy's just touched on a little bit there too, is consultation. She didn't do consultation on the 20 miles an hour, as far as I'm concerned, in Onken. She used an old thing from Timble years ago, from the central member, Anne, who just wanted the 20-mile circle around schools down in the central thing, which was Ballacameen, St. Ninians and stuff like that. Everywhere else, including Onken, has got 20 miles an hour signs. You look at the come up to Braddon there. We've got flashing boards that says 20 miles an hour when the school's on. In the summer, they're turned off for a reason, because the kids are not there. But I just wanted to put out there, too, that I think the next municipal meeting, which is coming up shortly there, I'm going to thank the rest of the members from local authorities, if nobody else does, really, is, because we got together, we looked at the points there on the Clause 5, the thing she was doing on this amendment bill for the local authorities. Some of it was, bits were okay, but I'm sorry, she went with Hooper, or Hooper was influencing her all the time, and that was her demise. And I hope Tim gets a good crowd in. This is the issue, Andy, I believe, anyway. But who's going to be the members in the department? Hooper, if you looked at it yesterday, listening to the stuff that who voted against towards the end of just having a simple thing of the minimum wage going up slightly, look at the people. There were 6 or 7 MHKs and 2 MLCs. And I just wondered, from the 2 MLCs, was it because they were in a department and they thought they still had some loyalty? They need to all move on and do the bidding of the population, things that we want done. Okay?
Okay, just before you go, again, most people simply don't understand where the friction was between local authorities and this particular. So, we've said it umpteen times. Let's make it umpteen and one. Where was the friction, David?
It was to do with Hooper's amendment, where he included the Clause 5, which in all the local authorities, every one of them on the island, political members as well, there too, was saying that if the Clause 5 went through, the MLCs looked at it as well. All the people that went to the session for the MLCs, where they didn't drag us in, we all went in there voluntary, 50 of us. There was at least 50 local authority people there, and we weren't allowed to bring our clerks, or the clerks weren't allowed to talk. But the minister was in there with Hooper, and also two civil servants advising her all the time. What happened to equal opportunity of arms? It wasn't there. But that's gone now. Tim's made that decision, and I'm pleased with him. I've sent him an email, and also the chief minister an email, to let's get all back on track, as what Paddy would say, is, and get these things organised and get them dealt with, and then this island can move on, and we can be proud of being a sporting island, never mind 20 miles an hour. And if the signs are up for sale, if Tim, because them old ministers will be listening now, if them signs are up for sale, 20 miles an hour, if the former minister signs it, I'll give it 50 quid, all right?
Okay, thanks.
See you, boy.
Thanks for that. 24 minutes past 12. The political members inside DOI at the moment, Laurie Hooper, MHK, Joni Farragher, MHK, and Dawn Kinnish, the MLC, are in there. Whether or not they stay in there is probably down to them. We'll see. Tim Crookall is back. Back, crikey. Hope he never had a leaving party. He's back in DOI. And Chris Thomas is the Treasury Minister. Wasn't Tony Brown the Chief Minister when the DOI was set up? Didn't it become too big then? That's Andrea. A lot of people on the Isle of Man feel certain ministers have been ignoring the public views. For example, the 20 mile per hour limits. Why bother asking for our views if we're going to be ignored? Marie said, Andy, figures released about the meat plant show farmers are getting even more charges added to the slaughter of their animals with no way of avoiding them. Another departmental issue following government intervention. And Texter 345 says, I was just wondering, now they've settled what the minimum wage is going to be, are they going to increase the tax threshold so some of us on lower incomes might be left with a little disposable income to spend in the local economy and support businesses? Again, reading between the lines of what the Chief Minister said on Monday, that would seem to be the case. In fact, he alluded to the fact that when he was Treasury Minister, against the advice of some of the people within Treasury, he raised the tax thresholds and more tax came in. So we'll see. Isn't it time the Education Minister, took responsibility? Policies around school dinners have driven numerous children away from school dinners, including the ban on otherwise acceptable foods and sauces. It's not appropriate to police children's calorie intake. Children often need more energy than adults. And if they leave school hungry, they're more likely to snack on fast food and sweets on the way home. Give me a bit more detail on that. I'll be appreciative of it. And Eddie's with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right, mate?
Very well, thanks. What about yourself?
It's been a busy week, hasn't it?
Well, for some people it has, yes.
Very eventful, yeah. I've got 2 points. My first point was it's about a new party, a political party, which has been formed, Advance UK. Have you heard of it?
Go on.
Well, I'll come to that in a minute, but I was going to come on last Friday. You had Michelle on last Friday, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to come on, but I sort of held back for fear of you telling me off for swearing or something like that. What I was going to say was to Michelle, has she ever heard of a thing called a U-turn? Because I ask questions at this end. People phone me. And on three subjects alone, the 20 miles an hour, in my assumption, and she must get the same result if she's talking to people in the south of the island, I would say at the maximum 5% of the people were for 20 miles an hour. She's bringing out a private member's bill about the thingy zones. Again, if there's 5% of the people for that, you know, I'm being generous, you know, and the referendum, she was for that, for the net zero. I can't find 5% of people who are for it. So there's three items where the general public, it is just so enormous, the amount of people who are against it. And yet the government, and especially Michelle, was going for them all, pushing them. So, to me, it's not surprising about what's happened. It is absolutely just summing up that the fact that the people will have a voice, and that is what's happening again. She should have realised that with the swimming pool. The people will, if something's wrong, and they all know it's wrong, they'll get up in arms about it, and that's exactly what's happened here. And as far as I'm concerned, the best thing that could happen now is for the Chief Minister to admit about how wrong he's got it all and scrap the island plan altogether. Simple as that. And start afresh, because almost everything that's going on in the government at the moment in the last 4 years, it's proved itself. It's been wrong. A mess. But that's my opinion on that. But just to get back to that other thing, which is this new party which is formed legally, registered now, Advance UK. I watched the last TV section of it, and we had two things about the Isle of Man which were not very nice about the Isle of Man. And it was a fellow that came over here not long back, Paul Burgess. And he was pointing out the two things about not being allowed in the schools to give his professional opinion on things. So really bad adverts for the Isle of Man. This Advance Party UK is watched and listened to by an awful lot of people. So he should be, like I've said all along, he should be allowed to come over here and have his say, because it would only be levelling the situation out. The kids at school, you had the schools on the other day from King William's. Now, the majority of them wouldn't know how green wind turbines are or any of the other things, you know, but they need to know. So when kids are at school and students are at school, it's a learning time. They should be given the information and let it work out for themselves. Don't brainwash them with the MUA stuff, because that's all the only thing they're getting, government and MUA. Let's have the likes of that Paul Burgess, who's got a lot of letters after his name. I've listened to him and he talks sense. So he should be allowed to come over and teach the school.
Well, he did come over. He did have a public meeting, and he was on this programme as well.
Yeah, I went to listen to him. I found him great, and I thought, yes, he should be allowed to go around the schools. I mean, I did a thing on your show where I was naming one after the other things, reasons for not having wind turbines, just producing how untrue it is that they're green. You know, the kids didn't get that because they don't listen to Manx Radio. It's in school time, right? But the kids should be allowed to know about how ungreen wind is, how ungreen solar panels are, you know. But nobody's actually being allowed by this government to tell them. So why not give us... The reason why the government's in a problem at the moment is because they're forcing everybody to do what they think. And it's backfiring on them. And hence, that's why all the upheaval at the moment.
All right. Well, we appreciate your opinion, Eddie. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, mate.
28 minutes before one.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The Man in Line.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.im.
Darker days and damper conditions require more action. Make sure you carry out your vehicle safety checks this winter. Think powders. P, petrol and diesel. O, oil. W, water. D, damage. E, electrics. R, rubber. S, self.
Make sure your lights are all working too. Brought to you by Quayside Tyres in conjunction with Isle of Man Road Safety.
Open your heart to something genuine. Queen of Hearts offers carefully vetted and screened singles. No swiping, just meaningful matches. Ready for a fresh start? Head to queenofheartsiom.com or WhatsApp 223937 to get started.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association is passionate about funding cancer research through world-leading research organisations in the UK, raising awareness of the signs and symptoms within our community and supporting those affected by cancer. We proudly fund and manage the Stay Well Clinic for cervical screening, and if you've received a letter inviting you to attend, please make that appointment.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Direct cremation is just that. An affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
Session and Ashen
Radio Vanin. Gilg, the Manx Gaelic. Ginian Amera, the mother tongue of Elian Vanin, the Isle of Man.
Avishan Rish.
You can catch up with more of Manx Radio's Manx language programmes in the weekly podcast Abershen Rish. Say that again.
Abershen Rish.
Shene, that's the one.
Session and Ashen Radio Vanin.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
26 minutes before one, messaging from Misha. She said, is it true about this £10,000 sound system at the crematorium? Actually, it's £7,000. Douglas City Council putting £7,000 investment into a sound system at the Crem, providing considerate and quality funeral services. Douglas Council says it's currently using multiple platforms to source and play music, a process which it said is inefficient and there's an increased risk of technical difficulties because, let's face it, nobody wants the wrong music played at a funeral. Chair of Regeneration and Community Committee is Natalie Byron-Tier, and she hopes the system will streamline services and save on resources. £7,000 for a new sound system at the crematorium. Apparently, though, the other tender was £33,000 for a sound system. Anyway, glad to clear that up, Misha. Here's Julian with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Yeah, I'm just curious about... It was on the Manx Radio, Anne Corlett's recent statement and her wish to see a ring road for the schools in terms of a 20 mile an hour.
Yeah.
So if you look at all the schools in Douglas and Onchan, isn't that going to encroach into a lot of the arterial roads? I mean, you're going to be looking at like Brayhill, Balaquail Road. You've got an awful lot of schools in a certain area, and this is going to include all the way through Main Road Onchan out towards Ashley Hill and Onchan Primary. Are we going to be talking about all the way out to Q8 Primary? Are you going to be looking at Annika Primary? Are you going to be looking at Balacottia School, St Thomas's, Braddon School, Manor Park School, Henry Blow Noble Primary? You know, I mean, if you stick a ring road in Douglas for all the schools that are there, you might as well have what we had before, though, wouldn't you?
It's going to go on and on, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I quite agree with having 20. I mean, to be honest, the dynamic signs that they have, the flashing signs outside the schools, are great because you know then that the likelihood is that it's safe to do a bit more because they're not doing, you know. Those dynamic signs, for me, work great, and I don't think anyone is going to be speeding when those things are flashing around the place.
Nobody argues with those signs. It's just, the problem with the schools is, of course, 14 weeks of the year, there's nobody there.
That's right. And I think you had a lady on the other day who was saying about, was it Portishead Avenue, and complaining about cars whizzing around? Well, like it was always done in the past, if you've got a problem, apply for either a license to change the speed limit or get the sleeping policeman raised so that they can't do that. But the idea that you're just going to basically do this through the back door by saying, well, let's just have a ring road. I mean, you know, just go and have a look at all the schools in Douglas and Onchan. I mean, if you do a ring road, you could basically, it's going to look a very similar map to what was before.
Well, I think the dynamic signs, I mean, as you say, at the moment, work very well because the problem is, just go back to the fact, you know, 14 weeks of the year, there are no schools anyway, and before 8 o'clock in the morning and after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, nobody's around anyway. So if you're going to apply a blanket speed limit, you're going to basically restrain the movement of traffic out of hours, as it were.
That's right. And what is a ring road? I mean, if you say you've got two schools across one town, I mean, you're going to make a ring all the way between the two of them. I mean, it makes little sense what she's saying, really. I mean, you know, let's use some of those poles to stick up the dynamic signage outside schools. I'm all for that. And then, you know, sell them on to whoever in the UK or elsewhere that needs them at the moment.
Everybody seems to raise the fact... Julian, the fact is that if you are going to have a speed limit, there surely has to be a method of A, enforcing it, and B, imposing sanctions on people who transgress. Otherwise, you may as well lick your finger and stick it in the air.
And there always used to be a sort of a consultation with the public on each of these ones if they were deciding to change the speed limit, or, you know, like the Old Castletown Road, or... the Balamoda, which actually was the result of someone that didn't even have a driving license, never had one, didn't have any insurance, who crashed at the top corner there. And we all end up suffering for it eventually by having to be having a speed limit imposed on somebody that shouldn't have even been on the road in the first place. So I don't know. It's I'm not sure if her idea, if you actually, anyone has a look at a map of all the schools in Douglas and Onchan, a ring road is basically going to look like the spider's web that was on the original idea.
Right. Okay.
There you go. Thanks, Andy.
All right. Good to talk to you. Thanks for that. And David joins us now. Hello, David.
Oh, hi, Andy. Hi. Just to pick up on what Julian was just saying there, I thought Anne Corlett, when she was talking about a ring road, I don't think she actually meant construct a ring road around the schools. I thought she just meant provide a route around schools that would almost constitute a ring road. I don't think it was actually, you know, let's construct a whole lot of ring roads around schools. But anyway, that wasn't what I rang about. I was actually in Tim Wald yesterday. I was watching the Chief Minister when he stood up to give a statement. And, you know, he didn't come across as very credible to me. I thought he was a bit overly dramatic and defensive about the stances he took. I found it a bit weird that 4 weeks before a budget, he had a sudden realisation that the numbers didn't add up and that suddenly he wanted to, you know, pass legislation, ensure that the budget was going to cater to the needs of the island's population, something that he should have had his eye on all along, really. And I don't think it's a coincidence either that after Michelle Hay's performance on The Man in Line, that it wasn't a bad performance, but, you know, I find her sort of a little bit disingenuous as well sometimes, you know, the way she dismissed some of people's concerns. I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, after that performance, he decided to get rid of her as well. But really, I found his performance a little bit dramatic, looking for a bogeyman, absolving himself of any responsibility for where we are now. And, I mean, he said something about, you know, he was bewildered. I just think, well, you know, I'm bewildered at your bewilderment. You know, you appointed these people. Surely to God, you have some role in the decision-making process. Surely you have some idea of how to sign off a document or not. And what, it's come to pass that 4 weeks before a budget, you're sacking your Treasury Minister, and 8 weeks, 8 months before a general election, the infrastructure minister has gone, well, all of the plans that have been, you know, set in motion are now being shelved. And it's like he stood up and said, this had nothing to do with me, really. I've just discovered it and I'm sorted it out. Please believe me. And, you know, it doesn't make sense.
Have you got any confidence in the future, David?
I've got confidence in the future. I just didn't feel I had confidence in Alf Cannon as for the Chief Minister. And I suppose I was looking around the Tim Wald yesterday and I just thought, you know, there's some good people there. There's some people who are very quiet, don't say anything, and, you know, maybe they just squirrel around in the background, really. But I just wonder if maybe we need to look at how we elect our Chief Minister and how we formulate governments here, because, you know, this horse race that we have after a general election to elect the Chief Minister, I think it's a bit silly, really. I think maybe it would be nice to find out before members go into an election if they're willing to be a Chief Minister, if they're willing to stand as part of a government. You know, we need to know a bit more about the ambitions of some of the people that put themselves forward along those lines as well. I mean, these manifestos, they're not worth the paper they're printed on. You know, everybody talks about, oh, I want, you know, housing, health, immigrant. Of course, everybody wants a great health service. Of course, everyone wants a house, you know. But then these people get into office and whatever happens once they're in the coal-in, it seems to evaporate, you know. This collective responsibility thing comes in. And, you know, even though I suspect that Michelle Hayward probably didn't agree with some of the stuff, you know, she has to, because of collective responsibility, come out and say that she agrees with it. It was interesting to hear her say that now she can focus on her constituents. We should have been focusing on them all the time, not just the government plan. But it seems like she was constrained by being in a ministerial post. And I just wondered if we need to be looking at how to reform him also, that actually serves the needs of the people of the Isle of Man, you know, in a more direct way.
Well, David, we've always kind of prided ourselves on the fact that, you know, we don't have party politics by and large, and we act within consensus, in that everybody then pulls on the same rope. Are you suggesting that that's breaking down?
Well, it seems to be, doesn't it? I mean, the implication from the Chief Minister's statement yesterday, because it was all implications, it was all smoke and mirrors. You know, he didn't come out and say, this is what I really think, and this is what he thought, and I didn't agree with it. It was all, you know, a little bit airy-fairy. You know, tell us what you think. Tell us what the tensions are, you know. What is this? What do we need to know to make decisions? I just feel that things are a little bit broken and not... as fully formed as it should be to move things on properly. And I'm not sure what party politics is needed here. God knows what we'd end up with. But, you know, we need to have a bit more consensus and agreement and how to move things on in a more constructive manner.
David, what sort of people need to stand to be politicians in September then?
Oh, well, there's a question. I mean, you'll get the usual, you know, people who think they should be MHKs because well, because they have an opinion, which is fine. But I think having a bit of life experience is useful. You know, people who've got energy and motivation to do it, whose, you know, primary reason is to actually affect change in society and the island, not just to get themselves a job in Tynwald and become a lawmaker. But also to serve the needs of the community. And maybe we should be looking at people who have had a role in the community, who are established within their community and actually, you know we know that they want the best for the island rather than for themselves. I mean, it's easy to say, isn't it, that people who want to go for election are out for themselves. Well, not everybody is. Now, I think most people who put themselves up for election aren't. I think it's a thankless job. But, you know, someone's got to do it. And if people are willing to stand up and be counted and actually have got some credentials behind them, some credibility, I think credibility is the main thing, then you know, they should be supported. But yeah, I mean, it's a difficult job. not everybody wants to do it, but we, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's not something I'd want to do.
Okay. All right. David, appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us today.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. It's 14 minutes before one.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till one, Monday to Friday.
Cybersecurity is important for any business, no matter what the size. Protecting both you and your clients' data dramatically reduces the risk of a cyber attack. Luckily, it doesn't have to be expensive. At JTG, we're island-based and tailor our approach to cybersecurity on your needs. Protection can be as little as the cost of a coffee a week. Click jtg.im and get your free business health check today. Keep you and your business safe with cybersecurity from JTG.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Divorce doesn't have to mean a bitter battle in court. If you're both willing, an amicable divorce is possible. Man Benham Advocates supports respectful separation, saving you time, cost, and unnecessary stress.
We can help you utilise non-court methods to agree on finances and efficiently formalise your financial consent order. We aim for a respectful new beginning. Start your amicable path. Call Man Benham for your free confidential initial chat on 639 350.
Is your shed roof in need of replacing and you don't want to pay a contractor? The solution is DIY Roof in a Box kits with full instructions and warranty from Rubber Roof Shop. For your roof in a box, call 49667.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week. Brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Text to 739. It's interesting in this left versus right debate that if you describe socialism while using the word socialism, the anti-left types are generally against it. But if you describe socialist initiatives without using the word socialism. You get NHS-free healthcare, free education, free buses and trains, public ownership and regulation of key industries, strong worker protections and guaranteed affordable housing. The same anti-left types are generally all for it. It leads me to think that those who hate socialism, says 739, have no idea what it actually is, and they just hate the word socialism because they've been taught to fear it. Thank you, 739. Bonzo is with us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Well, yes, not only do people, many people in Cornwall not really understand what socialism is, but when it's applied to business and those who are quite wealthy and pay very low taxes as a proportion of their wealth on that, that's all right, that's incentive. No, that's what we need, help for business. Yes, otherwise known as welfare, or in terms to business, corporate welfare. But, that's all right. David, who of course he was on previously, asking so many of the questions that we hear again and again and again and again about our political system, certainly which I've heard for the past over 20 years since I came back from across. It's very much plus a change. And when he says about the idea of Cornwall being an engine for change, no, the political system is generated to ensure that there isn't change, so that vested interests maintain their advantages. That's what it's there for, and many of the Cornwall members, sadly, are very much representative of vested interest, which then brings me on to the Minimum Wage Committee and the disgraceful vote in Cornwall yesterday. The Minimum Wage Committee, as I understand it, has no worker representation on it whatsoever. Yes? So, the Minimum Wage Committee, whose previous thoughts on minimum wage were addressing the conclusions of the Poverty Committee, they were all right with that, until Monday evening, when they were hastily brought together in order to rubber stamp Cadden's hysterical U-turn. And then you hear in the debate, which I think Alf Cannon did not mean to mention because it was on the end of one of his rants. But what he mentioned was he started to discuss, or he alluded to, the difference in median income between public sector and private sector workers, which I think he intimated was 30% in favour of the public sector, which then... Everything fell into place then for me. What this is about is about legislating for low pay by using the minimum wage as a tool to depress wages. Because we have now legislated, we have now agreed in Cornwall both that we should not pay people what it costs for them to live, as calculated. That is what they have voted for. And any of them who voted for it, who don't recognise that, simply shouldn't be in Cornwall.
You don't think
the
tax thresholds, changing the tax thresholds, may make a difference to that?
They can't be changed in any substantial way. When we look at personal allowances, for example, when I returned to the island, personal allowance in real terms, in money terms, was double that of the UK. In real terms, it was about 140% higher than the UK, which is why, of course, in that time, in the early 2000s, the nighttime economy was booming and everyone was happy because people had disposable income, which they do not now. And that is because the majority of the direct tax take is now from and that's lower and middle incomes, which directly subsidises low taxes for those who can afford to pay them the most. It is welfare, and that is that is the stance of Cannon, and that is the stance of quite a number of people in Tynwald, who of course are members of that vested interest and quite readily support that vested interest. But in doing this, what he's doing, as I think I just mentioned, but we drifted off on a moment, is that I can see that he is going to attempt a freeze on public sector pay. Now, a freeze on public sector pay, that won't matter for people who are, in the top 25% of public sector pay, because they'll just find a way around that in their, various add-ons and conditions and stuff that they do, because a lot of those people aren't actually permanent civil servants, they're on fixed-term contracts, so they'll play around with the fixed-term contracts. Oh no, it'll be those people who are members of unions who will have their pay frozen, because they are nasty, greedy public sector workers. And that kind of playing to prejudices, which have already been reinforced in the media, excellent for the election. I'm very powerful chief minister. Me and my people are taking action against the greedy public sector. He's been a union basher, of course, ever since his first day in the Keys.
And it has to be said, for the past 5 years, every other month we either get medical workers who are threatening strike or on strike or who are overtime bans, and obviously the teachers, the various teaching unions. So we've had that ongoing for 5 years within teaching and Manx Care.
Well, quite. I mean, like Julie Edge's litany of unachievement at Department of Education, which Alex Allenson, of course, had to spend all his time there fixing, because she just joined in this union bashing nonsense. But these are the kind of markers and division and populism, which of course Cannon and others think will save their skins and preserve them into their seats, because as I gather, Cannon is looking to stand for another term and thinks he ought to be chief minister for that term. People who think that somehow Cannon has had a road to Damascus, an enlightenment, that the majority of the population should somehow have disposable income, it's not about you. He hasn't started caring about you. No, he's caring about him and the vested interests who support him and those like him. In the words of, and those who voted for this, they will rue the day. As Johnny Rotten would say, ever get the feeling you've been cheated?
All right. Bonzo, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Bye.
I signed up for Gennaro last Wednesday, said Roger. On Friday, my account was hacked and almost all my accounts were sent a message pretending to be me asking to borrow money. Fortunately, the language and the syntax didn't convince anybody. As a precaution, my bank has cancelled and reissued my debit card. I've had no previous problems in decades with Manx.net. We've had the word, by the way, Laurie Hooper has resigned from the DOI. Kay said the dynamic sounds outside schools are completely ignored by a good number of drivers. My kids are at Q-Egg and I've seen trucks going past doing 40 during the 20 miles per hour time. Time for fines, is it? That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones. Back tomorrow. Open line.
WINT.